Did I unhook Dwayne? I snagged over there on. Good, okay. Good evening. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Just going to read two verses. And the title of my message will come out of these two verses. Leviticus 19, verse 33. We'll read verse 33 and 34. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him or oppress or mistreat him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The title of my message is Love the Stranger. And the giving of this law implies that we didn't love strangers, and we don't, and we mistreat them. And I'm talking about strangers to grace, strangers to the gospel, people in natural religion. And the reason there's a problem with us not loving them, and we should, is because that was us before the grace of God saved us. We were strangers to grace. And even as believers, we've all talked bad and talked down of those people in false religion and feeling ourselves to be better than them, considering them to be strangers to truth and strangers to the gospel. And they are, but so were we. And we so soon forget that that was our state not too long ago. And if not for the mercy of God to put in someone's heart to pray for the salvation of our souls, we would still be lost and strangers to grace. God always uses the means of prayer to carry out his providence and his salvation. Ezekiel 36. I want to look at one verse here. Ezekiel chapter 36. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. The house of Israel is going to pray for this, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Everything over in verse 25 through 27, down through there, a new heart, a new spirit. Everything the Lord's going to give us and do for us, we're going to pray for it and ask for it. And so, as we have been prayed for, somebody prayed for us to bring us under the sound of the gospel. As we have been prayed for and brought by the grace of God to be children of God and no longer strangers to grace, may God give us grace to pray earnestly for all the strangers around us, in our families, in our neighborhoods, and at our jobs. In love for them, praying the Lord would draw them under the sound of the gospel just like he did us. Let's turn back to Leviticus 19. The bulk of my message will be out of Deuteronomy chapter 10, but Leviticus 19, I just want to look at that word stranger real quick. In verse 34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Stranger is someone that was a foreigner, once a citizen of another land, now they've moved into a new residence in a new land. And Israel was commanded to leave portions of the harvest for them. Look over in verse 9 of Leviticus 19. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, leave some crops in the corners. Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, leave the scraps on the ground, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard, thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Israel was commanded to leave a portion of their harvest and some of their grapes for the poor and strangers. And that's how they were to show their love for him. But I want to show first of all how God has shown his love for his people and that we are therefore to show our love as he showed his love to us. And the majority of my time will be in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. verses 17 through 19, but we'll set the context by reading in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Now I looked up that word stiff-necked. That's not a physical issue that a lot of people, I have. I've got a couple herniated discs, and there's mornings when I get up and you got to do this stuff to turn and talk to people. It's not a physical problem. This is a heart problem. It's pride. It's self-righteousness. It's standing there like this looking down your nose at people. That's being stiff-necked. And it's also so set in your ways that you'll just walk this way and you will not turn your neck around and look back to your Savior and return your first love. You're so set in your ways. And that was their problem. That's our problem. But thank goodness we have a gracious God. Verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. It doesn't matter if you're some poor smelly beggar or some rich Donald Trump. That has no bearing on whom he's going to save or show mercy to. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye, therefore, the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Before we go looking at loving the stranger, I want to talk a little bit about the relationship of God as a father to his children, us believers. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. God is the father of his special people, the elect, that were chosen and adopted in Christ. And we read about this in Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We're adopted children of God. I know a little bit about adoption. I've got an adopted child, Riley. She now has a new name. She's a Dufour. She's got a new birth certificate, new parents, and she shares in the Dufour inheritance now. And now every believer in this room has been adopted into Christ. You've got a new name, the Lord our righteousness, for she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. You've got eternal inheritance with God in heaven. So many blessings with adoption. But that word that caught my eye was Abba, Abba, Father. I looked that up. Abba is, well, I'm going to read. I would mess it up if I tried to read it, but try to rehearse it. The word framed by the lips of infants in complete unreasoning trust in their father. In other words, Dada. Or in my case, Gaga. She can't say grandfather, so she says Gaga. But it's an unreasoning trust in the father. When that little kid walks up and just puts their arms up like that and looks up at you, they have no reason to fear, no reason to doubt. They completely put their trust in their parent, and that's how we're to be with our father. Abba, Father, a dad, Dada. Father is his name of authority. Abba is his name of compassion and intimacy. Now, that same relationship that we have with him is spoken of in a different way back in our text in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy. We'll be going back and forth. He's also a protector to the fatherless and to the widows. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, He's a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Who's his fatherless and who's his widows? That's me and you in natural religion. We're fatherless, we're orphans, we don't have a heavenly father, a heavenly father, and we're widows. We don't have Christ as our husband. And yet he shows mercy on the fatherless and on the widows. We're told this in Lamentations. Let's look up Lamentations. It's a little book right after Isaiah and Jeremiah. It talks about these fatherless and these widows, and it shows how it's us in our natural religion, religion of works. Lamentations chapter 5, we'll look at the first six verses. Lamentations 5, verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We labor under the law. We labor under works. We have given the hand to the Egyptians. We return to our law keeping, and to the Assyrians, the power of the flesh, to be satisfied with bread. The fatherless and the widows are people under natural works religion. Me and you, everybody in this world, as we're born into this world, are spiritually fatherless and spiritual widows, and he is a father to the fatherless and widows. And we'll see how he carries that out back in Deuteronomy 10. Told you to leave your finger there. We'll be back and forth. So here's how he carries out his grace and mercy on the fatherless and widows. Deuteronomy 10, verse 18. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love gives. True love gives. There's many times in Scripture when it talks about the love of Christ. And lots of times, like in Ephesians chapter 5, it says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. True love does give. It just doesn't talk the game. It walks the game. It just doesn't talk about it. It walks about it. Walks about in love, giving. And he gave food and raiment to strangers. What is his food and raiment? You that have been here long enough, you know exactly what I'm going to say, because we've got a pastor that preaches that food and raiment every sermon. It's Christ. He's the bread of our life. He's the raiment. He's our covering. He's our righteousness. And he's everything to a believer. We need physical food to fill these physical bodies. We need the spiritual food and bread of Christ to fill our spiritual bodies. And he's the bread. It's spoken of in John 6, many, many verses. We're not going to look at them, but John 6, where he is the bread of life, speaks of physical Israel ate the manna on the ground and they're dead. Yet some of those physical Israelites were spiritual Israelites, and they ate that bread in faith, knowing that it was the broken body of their Savior coming to save them, his broken body. And that was their life and that was their hope, and they ate that in faith, and so do we. And his raiment that he gives these strangers is his perfect righteousness. Ezekiel chapter 16. Just like Pam was singing about before the service, this perfect robe of righteousness, Ezekiel chapter 16. We're starting verse 13. Speaking of his people here. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen. And we know from Revelation that fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And silk, embroidered work, thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. It's considered our beauty. He gives it to us. It's a that thy is a possessive pronoun. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. That's such a to think that he would take that perfect righteousness of his and count it to us and give it to us freely, and to give us as strangers to grace the food and raiment of Christ, the same way that he's loved us and give to us, we're supposed to love and give to strangers to grace by telling them of the food and raiment that's found in Christ. He said in verse 19, we don't have to turn back to Deuteronomy at this time, but he said in verse 19, love ye therefore in the same manner the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. As Christ loved us even when we were strangers to grace and dead in sins. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, strangers to grace, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. What great love, that even when we were children of wrath, even as others, dead in sin, stiff-necked, proud, greedy, God-haters, yet even then, for Christ's sakes, he loved us, saved us, called us, and united us to Christ. What love he's shown to strangers. And we're to love strangers the same way that he loved us, with Christ being our food and raiment. We're to tell strangers of the food and raiment found in Christ. So in the same manner that Christ loved us and gave himself for us, even when we were strangers and foreigners to grace and citizens of this world's religion, we are to love strangers to grace by praying for them and bringing them to hear of the food and raiment of Christ in the gospel of God's free salvation by grace. Let's read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read the first four verses. First Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, what he's saying there, instead of protesting our leaders, let's try praying for them. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And I'm as guilty of this just as everybody in here. So instead of deriding, mocking, making light of, putting down, ridiculing, taunting, insulting, laughing at, and making fun of those thousands of people flocking through the wide doors of all these false prophet churches, we should be praying for them. For that was us, and still would be us, if not for the grace of God intervening. We'd be right there with them worshiping Joel Osteen. We'd be right there with them. And the Lord had mercy on us as strangers to grace, and we're to have mercy on strangers to grace by praying for them and telling them of the food and raiment found in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn back a couple books. Now, how did we get to be so different? How did we get to be one of God's children, adopted in Christ? By anything we did, or was it all of his grace? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ? And that word differ means to be distinguished or to separate thoroughly. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now we are all different, physically, mentally, emotionally, we're different. But a believer is a different bird altogether. They're perfectly holy and beautiful to God through this food and raiment that Christ has given them. And how did we get to be that different? Was it anything we did, thought, prayed, talked about? It was the grace of God coming down in mercy while we was out. I traveled through so many churches before the Lord landed me here, and I was a stranger to grace, and he had mercy on me. Just through one Yellow Page ad, I saw a word, Todd's Road Grace Church, and I said, I don't know why there's a word grace in that. I'll go check it out. And I've been here ever since. And everybody in here has a different story, if you want to call it, how he's had mercy on strangers to grace. In the same way that he's shown mercy to us, we should be that compassionate and that merciful to all these people that are strangers to grace outside of here. And he commands us to do that. Too bad he's got to command us to do that. too bad we couldn't be that way on our own, but we've got such hard hearts, it just doesn't happen naturally. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Here's our state by nature before the Lord saved us. Let's start in verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision by the Jews, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a pretty bleak description of me and you before the Lord saved us. Without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That aliens means a non-participant. You got a basketball game, you got 5-on-5, and there's 11 kids, and that one kid sits out, and he's a non-participant. We were non-participants in grace. We were foreigners to grace. We didn't understand the grace language. We thought free still meant we had to bring something or come up with something or work up something. We never understood that free means free with Christ and salvation by grace. We buy physical food, the price keeps going up and up every day, cost keeps going up. The bread of Christ is free. No money, no price. It's free for the asking. And may he give us grace to ask for that mercy, and may he give us grace to ask for mercy for strangers to grace outside of here. All right, so now that we know and we've heard and we've seen how the Lord has been gracious to us, even when we were dead in sins and children of wrath, even as others, and we were strangers by salvation to grace, in the same manner, therefore, that he had mercy on us, as Christ loved us and gave his life for us, in giving us the food and raiment of his broken body and his perfect righteousness, in the same manner that he loved and gave to us, we're to love and give to strangers, and telling them of the food and raiment that's found in Christ. We're not to be mocking or jeering or deriding or belittling them, but we're to bow in our heart and have compassion on them, even as God for Christ's sake has had compassion on us. Matthew chapter 5. This will be the last verse we look at. Actually verses, but the last chapter. Matthew 5 verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, mature, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Show your love to enemies, even as God has had mercy on us. And while we were by nature, we were enemies to him. Pray for them. Pray for these strangers to grace. You can hand them a bulletin. You can mail them a CD. You can tell them the name of somebody to listen to on sermon audio. There's so many ways. You can email. You can text. I know all these ways because I use them because I'm so timid and awkward around people. I'll use whatever means I can, though. I set out a bulletin on the break table at work. There's so many ways of communications nowadays, and every one of those ways of communications needs to be to bring people here to hear the one way of communication. That's God speaking to us in the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, that their soul may be saved and a stranger to grace may become a lover of grace. That's how we're to treat these people. And they still make ink pens. You can still write letters. They still do. I saw one the other day. And But I do write letters every now and then, and it for somebody to think that you took the time to sit down with them on your thoughts and to handwrite out a letter carries a little more weight, I think, than some other things. So any means that you can use to communicate with somebody, to these strangers to grace, in love to them, in praying for them, to bring them under the sound of the gospel. Therefore, as Christ has loved us and gave to us, we're to love and give to these strangers to grace. Let's pray.